You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Hello and welcome to WrestleSpective. I am Jason Mann, and back on the show, he is returning, a many-time guest, Sawyer Paul of the International Object Blog and Podcast. Sawyer, welcome back to the show, sir.
It feels like home. It really does.
Oh, that's a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, we, as has become tradition on this show, are talking about the previous WrestleMania main event on the week before the next WrestleMania. So the week before WrestleMania 30, we are going to talk about The Rock against John Cena Part 2 at WrestleMania 29 in New Jersey / New York, I guess.
Yeah, somewhere like, and they're doing that for WrestleMania 31 as well, where they're just like, oh, it's in the area of that town.
Sure.
It's off the highway somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. You know, just find a map. You'll get there.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Google it.
Yeah. Use Tout. I don't know. I'm sure there are programs that can get you places these days.
I don't think Tout's one of them, but okay.
Well, maybe if you Tout, someone will Tout you back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Tout.
I don't know anything about Tout. We don't get it up here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, anyway, we are here talking, as I mentioned, Rock versus Cena Part 2, and I actually listened to the show that we did previously just to kind of get a sense of what we, our expectations for this match were going to be before it happened, and we were kind of expecting them to ramp up the violence a little bit, kind of get a little dirty, maybe have some big storyline progression, and that unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, depending on your point of view, did not really happen.
You're correct. If your point of view was, I kind of want the same match but slower, and somehow feels longer, then you got what you wanted.
Yeah. Now, granted, you know, there were some extenuating circumstances as to why this match may have fallen short of what it the previous years, but even if there wasn't, you know, the fact that Rock's against sustained injuries, their ambition did not seem particularly high here.
Yeah, I guess for the overall, but there's more than just the injury fighting against this match. But maybe we should go through it as it happens.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, for a brief summary of the build up for this match. Of course, it begins before WrestleMania 27, which is headlined by Cena versus The Miz, which actually has been completely erased from existence. That apparently never actually happened. But
no, never happened. It's kind of like WrestleMania 8. It's under the same rug that WrestleMania 8 is.
Yes. Yeah. That has been erased from existence. But in that time, The Rock, the host of WrestleMania 27, cost Cena the match and the title. They decide to fight a year later at WrestleMania 28, which The Rock wins thanks to Cena being cocky and trying to show up The Rock. This leads Cena into a tailspin of depression, which he fails, feels worthless, feels that a year of his existence was destroyed.
Lost his marriage, the poor guy.
He did, yeah, just because he lost a wrestling match.
That's
unfortunate.
You got to think it came up in the proceedings.
I would imagine so. Yeah,
the main thing. Like maybe if you'd won this, your marriage would still be together.
We're
making light of this, but they implied this in the build up to this match.
More than imply, he outright says that he was obsessed with The Rock and it cost him his marriage. I mean, you know, that he does basically say that. Which, I mean, I don't have a problem with necessarily. I mean, it's his life. He's allowed to...
It's allowed to fall apart in the way he chooses.
Yeah, he's allowed to make... You know, he's allowed to use that biography the way that he wants to, and that's fine. I don't think that's out of bounds or anything. It's not like he's going into, like, graphic detail or bringing his wife, you know, deeply into it or anything. So cool. You know, that's fine. It doesn't necessarily correspond to reality because maybe his bad year wasn't really all that bad. You know, he still won most of his matches and he beat Brock Lesnar. You know, he was involved in important things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, but he didn't have the title all year, which I guess, you know, is important to him. And in fact, the champion is The Rock.
He kind of didn't have it for most of the previous year.
That's true. He didn't have it most. In fact, Rock cost him that title, and that is not at all important in this story. And I don't think it was really. We didn't really talk about it, but I don't think it was really important in the lead up to 28 either. That was basically the lead up to 20. The first chapter in the lead up to 28 is the night after WrestleMania,
right?
Which is sort of an interesting choice.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's to sort of blow WrestleMania 27 on building up to this, and then completely forget that it ever happened.
I guess maybe they were a little bit embarrassed of how it turned out.
I mean, the set looked nice.
You know, at 28 or 27 or
you know,
29?
I'm a really big fan of the set at 27. Of the three, I think that's my favorite set.
Yeah, 28 was a great set though too.
It was a good set, but I feel like the WrestleMania logo above inside the set looked a little thin. You know, like I'm used to seeing WrestleMania, the logo is this like big, fat, blocky font. And then the WrestleMania 28 set, it just, it's almost like thin neon tubes. It just looked a little, it looked good from straight on, but at certain angles, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. The, what'd you think of the WrestleMania 29 set while we're talking about it? We did have a question about that, but we might as well just answer that now.
We did have a question. There were parts of it I really liked. I thought the Statue of Liberty was actually pretty cool. But the set itself with the bridge, you never want to make a wrestler look small. And I feel like that set made wrestlers look small.
Okay.
It made them look smaller than they were. This is one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of the 27 set, is because that set made each wrestler look 20 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the Rock shows up at WrestleMania 27, when he's the first guy out of the gate, like, he looks like a giant, you know? Whereas the 29 set, I think it's because of the overhang, like the bridge overhang, it made guys look shorter than they really were.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very dark, too.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very dark.
Yeah. Yeah. A little foreboding, perhaps. Perhaps indeed. So... we don't really get fancy entrances at all for this. It's basically their usual entrances in a bigger than usual environment. Whereas the previous year they had the big elaborate musical intro, MGK for The Rock and and then Flo Rida Flo Rida was for The Rock and MGK was for John Cena, excuse me. This year is just kind of their basic music. Now, they did have some videos interspersed throughout the show, where one with John Cena in a sleeveless hoodie lifting heavy things and talking about how sad he is. And then the other one is The Rock. There are basically just I think there were two for The Rock. One was like a... I am one of the million, like all of the fans are sort of saying like, I am one of the millions. And they're all kind of repeating various Rock catchphrases, which actually was kind of cute. And then there's like another one about how much he wanted the belt and his single motive was to do that. And then he won it from CM Punk.
Yeah. Which again is really not brought up much during this show.
Yeah. Punk isn't mentioned at all during the fact, I mean, I, you know, he has the title in, but the important thing really is just the fact that it's The Rock versus
Cena. Yeah.
I mean, the belt is mentioned, but yeah, it is not really like it's kind of an afterthought. Like they do sort of play it up big once after Cena wins, but that's really the only time. This is more like an, oh, by the way, the title's on the line too.
they've done this with a few shows every few years where instead of right before the match, they do like a big hype video. They'll sort of intersperse it throughout the show. I remember specifically WrestleMania 18, Chris Jericho and Triple H's hype video happened at around like the 1/3 portion of the show instead of right before their match. What's your opinion on that practice?
I do kind of feel like it does seem like it's a little separated from it. Like, I mean, I guess it's there just to break up a little bit of the monotony, or, you know, because they need to do things with the set and get ready for the next match. But I kind of feel like the point of a hype video on an actual show, as opposed to one that is, you know, an advertisement, it's during a Raw or whatever, I feel like the point is to sort of explain the feud to people who are watching who don't, you know, who haven't followed closely and don't know all the stuff. And also is sort of to like get you like excited for the match right before it happens.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say, was that it gets your blood pumping, gets your adrenaline up. It gets you really, it's hype video in the literal sense, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, and that didn't have this, and this just sort of had, you know, their basic, them walking out entrances. And it does feel a little, I don't know, does it feel underplayed?
The first thing I thought when John Cena's music played, like as soon as Justin Roberts finished explaining the audience attendance record, which is a staggering number, beaten only by the Super Bowl, I believe. As soon as he finishes and then John Cena's music hits, the first thing I thought was, oh, well, they cut a match. You know,
yeah.
Like that mixed tag is gone. Because I feel like that's where that mixed tag was supposed to go.
I completely forgot about it, there being a mixed tag, but yeah.
It was, that was the only reason I remember it specifically now is that it was the plot of the first episode of Total Divas.
Ah.
Was that they centered on the fact that their match got cut. But even in the moment watching WrestleMania 29, I'm thinking, we missed one somewhere. There was an advertised match that didn't happen. And so I'm thinking, oh, they're rushing for time.
Well, the card is subject to change.
Sorry, the card is subject to change. That's
it,
right.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I did feel like perhaps they. Yeah, I mean, they may have had something a little more elaborate planned, or maybe another video planned that was your hype video, and
right.
Then they skipped it, you know, because of the. That's certainly possible.
And I wonder as well. Like, were there more elaborate entrances planned that got cut?
Yeah, I feel like they still would have done that if they would have worked it out somewhere, I guess, beforehand, if that had been the case, because I feel like, I mean, if they were going to have somebody like really fancy, I mean, they still like took like a decent amount of time to do the entrances. It's like Rock is out there and he's like, you know, standing on the platform for a while and he's, you know, sort of sucking himself up and thanking the fans a bit, you know, so he's sort of like, you know, they both take their time doing it. So I feel like if we were really in that much of a rush, we would have, that would have been gone a little faster, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. It does seem weird to have John Cena, and it seemed like it was a WrestleMania tradition for him to have like a special entrance. I feel like almost every single year he had something unique and interesting. Often, you know, portraying the type of town he was in or the type of match he was about to have.
But famously the Chicago, gangster one. He had the military style one at one of the 24, or maybe
had
25.
Had the gospel one in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, here nothing, just nothing.
Yeah.
It shows, I don't know, it felt rushed. It definitely felt rushed.
Yeah, so like we're just kind of getting to get this over with.
I do love though when Cena comes out, he talks to the cameraman, and I love that. You and I both love when he does that. And what does he say? I'm a bad man.
Yeah, shout out Redemption. he of course does get booed. I don't think it's
sure
universal,
does.
but he does. He's obviously getting booed here more than the Rock is. He has a bit of a cocky walk to him, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a yellow Never Give Up shirt, a black hat, dark tan cargo shorts. He gives Michael Strahan, the former New York Giants player and the host of Michael and Kelly, a high five at ringside. And then The Rock, as we mentioned, comes out. He has a lot of muscles. His muscles have muscles.
He's
a very
dude.
Muscular man. He is a very, dude. Yes. He's even bigger than he was year before, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he does seem like a little bit like humble, though, I guess, as far as just like the thanking the fans, like all that. Like, he's definitely like more like putting himself as sort of like not being like ostentatious or like, you know, he's more Dwayne like, I guess, than The Rock like, for lack of a better term.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I do notice that during the introductions that Cena very much has the whole pinching the sleeve of his shirt with one hand and pulling it off in one motion thing down. Like, he has clearly done that hundreds of times.
Not even thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, because, you know, normally when you take off a shirt, like, you're going to, you know, you're going to have a moment of, like, awkwardness and getting, you know, not necessarily stuck, but you're going to have, like, a... You know, you don't look cool when you take a shirt off. Most people don't. But The Rock, you know, but John Cena is able to, you know, make it look, if not cool, at least very casual and quick.
I'd say the opposite of the average wrestling fan's taking shirt off momentum, you know.
Sure,
if,
yeah.
You know, if I'm like any of the other wrestling fans out there, I basically become a bull in a china shop taking off a shirt. It's just, it's not fun at all. It's not fun for the people around me. I need a medic afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a tough workout for us.
I tried ripping up a shirt like Hogan once. Didn't work out very well.
No?
No, I still got the scars.
Oh, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
You gotta pre-cut those.
You definitely gotta pre-cut those, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely gotta pre-cut those. I've never actually tried to rip a shirt before, but maybe someday.
You've just never felt the Hulkamania running through your veins.
Not quite that deeply. I mean, Hulkamania does run through my veins. There's no question about it. But not, you know, not enough. I've never actually hulked up, I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is. I guess I've never really had, like, a moment where it hurt inside enough that I had to take a stand.
You're a very calm and considered individual.
I am pretty reasonable, I think. So, which I, you know, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cena sort of, while The Rock's doing his, posing with the belt on the turnbuckle, as he usually does, Cena's throwing a few air punches, kind of bouncing around, but very casual. This is all very, like, you know, this seems very calm and casual and basic, and, you know, there's no commentary at all during these entrances.
No,
I guess
they
just letting everything
just
speak for itself.
So, You saw that couple of screenshots that I took where the closed captioning goes, you know, they're talking about the previous segment and then they just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say a word. They don't say, okay, and now the match. They just, nope, nothing.
Yeah.
Until the bell rings.
Right.
Which is great. I was kind of thinking that, oh, hey, maybe something went wrong and I won't have to deal with these guys for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, although they actually did a fine job here. I didn't have a problem with a major issue with it was Michael Cole, Dre Lawler, and JBL on commentary. I thought they all, you know, got their points in well, and they all kind of, you know, played off each other fine, and I don't think anyone said anything excessively stupid here.
No, I suppose not.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that's not exactly like the best team in the world either, especially these days.
Mm-hmm.
So we start, The Rock attempts a punch, but he is caught by John Cena, who does an arm bar and, works a headlock, for a little bit. He comes off the ropes and knocks, The Rock down. Cena is booed there and he smirks to, because of that reaction as he is wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we start a little bit more with technically, but not with a unlike last year when we started with a the basic wrestling move that people start with. I'm completely blanking on the name.
Do the collar elbow tie up? I think is what
yes.
You're
thank
for.
You. Collar and elbow tie up. Yeah. Thank you. I heard a wrestling podcast, people. There's a point here in which it is mentioned that Cena, one of the people that Cena has faced at WrestleMania, is JBL, and JBL points out that this Cena is much better than the one that he faced, and is even much better than the one that faced The Rock last year. I'm not sure. I'll buy the first one. I'm not really sure how much Cena improved in that year, but
he learned the Hurricane Rana during that year, didn't he?
I feel like he did the Hurricane Rana before, but I could be wrong about that. Maybe you know, it's possible.
He started using it more. Certainly.
I'll give you that, yeah.
Yeah. No Cena Con Rana during this match, however.
No Cena Con Rana. Probably for the best. I'm going to go ahead and guess that might have hurt Rock had he done that.
Do you notice that even before The Rock gets hurt in this match, Cena's treating him pretty gingerly?
I didn't notice with anything. Was there anything in particular that you thought? There is very early in the match a very long headlock by The Rock, and then Cena. We get a sleeper hold for a long time. There are quite a few chin locks and rest holds, and a couple of long chin locks by Cena toward the middle of the match. Are you kind of talking about that, or do you feel like he just sort of takes it easy on like how he executes the moves?
Yeah, I feel like he sort of takes it a little easy. There do seem to be an awful lot of rest holds.
There definitely are, yeah. Do you know at what point Rock gets hurt here? Because I didn't see anything.
According to Rock himself, like on his Twitter, a couple days after, he mentions that when Cena hits him with the top rope leg drop, that's when he pulls his hamstring.
Well, no, I think that was the year before.
Was it?
That was the 2012 one.
Oh, yeah. So he just keeps getting hurt. He shouldn't wrestle.
Yeah, well, that's a thought. Yeah, he said right after this that he tore his abdomen and adductor muscles off of his bone. And then a couple weeks later, he put that he saw his doctor who had to push my intestines back through the tear in my abdomen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take that into account, the match becomes a lot better.
that's kind of what I think. Like, yeah, I mean, he had to gut through a significant injury, and I'm guessing it must have been fairly early in the match, which is why they were doing the rest holds. You know, or maybe his, you know, maybe just Rock. I don't know.
You just gotta think
his
like
conditioning wasn't good, but
the movements one has to go through to do like one attitude adjustment, where you have to be put on another person's shoulders, which I'm pretty sure your abdomen gets affected by that.
Yeah.
And then you have to like get twirled, 360 degrees or 180 degrees, roughly, something somewhere in between there.
Sure.
I'm a wrestler.
Some number of degrees.
Yes, yeah, some number of degrees, depending. It depends on how much they want to sell it, really.
Sure.
And then you have to land on your back, which, again, probably affects your abdomen a little bit. And he gets hit with four of them.
Right. Yes. So that is difficult. So, I'm kind of willing to give him the benefit of the doubt here. Of like, hey, you're wrestling with something that would, you know, make me scream in agony and terror and would make me want to, you know, crawl up in a corner. So, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and give now, you know, the wisdom of him wrestling maybe is a question, but, you know, he'd wrestled a couple matches with CM Punk already and apparently had no major issues there. So it's not necessarily like it was, oh yeah, obviously he shouldn't be wrestling because he's, you know, getting injured every time. But, you know, so we early on, Rock is able to hold a headlock. Cena gets a leapfrog, but Rock lands a big hip toss. Then Cena decides to bail out of the ring. So Cena is, I think, less of the subtle heel here than he was the year before, but he definitely is at least playing that a little bit or more than Rock is. I mean, Rock isn't bailing off of big moves and that kind of thing. I mean, Cena is at least, if he isn't trying to be a heel, he's at least like backing off at some point and, you know, and taking breaks and that kind of thing.
He does have quite a few sort of facial expressions that gear towards that he's playing with the crowd or he's actually getting frustrated and being a bit of a dick about things. You know, I think specifically that time later on in the match when the Rock hits him with a cross body and he just holds him and picks him up for one of those four attitude adjustments. He has this smirk on his face that's just pure derision towards anyone who's ever booed him ever. It's pretty great.
Yeah, he's good at that. He's really gotten that down, you know. Mm-hmm. So JBL at this point talks about sort of the stakes here, which I think are interesting. The big game stigma, if Cena loses twice to Rock, that even though Cena is a future Hall of Famer and he's had so many championships, this is a chance for him to be considered the greatest of the modern era. Your place in history is at stake. And I think that's an interesting idea because I think that's really the only tangible thing that this match is really about. As far as, like, I mean, the title, like we said, doesn't really matter that much. I mean,
no, it sure doesn't.
I mean, maybe it adds a little extra oomph because it's Rock's first title in however many years he's had it. And he talks about its importance. But really, I mean, Cena's been champion so many times that him winning the title is not anything that novel. But the whole idea is, like, you have this record at WrestleMania or this record in big matches or this your record in this rivalry. I mean, like for example, Randy Savage never, to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure, never ever beat Hulk Hogan, you know, by a pinfall. I mean, I think he beat him like in live shows by count out. But as far as a match that anyone ever saw, he never beat him, and he certainly never beat him by pinfall. Like, how much does that matter?
It matters to people who care about that kind of character consistency and what can be a 20-year long story, right?
Sure.
Like how many years were Savage and Hogan on the same show? Like they were a long, long, long time.
Right.
Right.
And they had several long rivalries and many matches, and you know.
Yeah. It was like through different companies, through different eras, they swapped being good guys and bad guys all the time. But you're right, like Savage never really got a big win over Hogan.
Yeah, and perhaps Savage would be seen more as Hogan's equal if Savage had ever beaten Hogan. And you know, maybe not, but as far as like that's something that actually like fans can see and mm-hmm. fans are tangible where, you know, it's kind of impossible to sort through 13 or however many title wins that Cena has and for all those moments to seem important.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I just think it's like, you know, we're kind of left at a place where this is the kind of thing that we remember now. You know, this is the kind of thing that is really important and that, you know, kind of shows us who is considered the best or who is considered, you know, the bigger one or you know, that's kind of the thing that's somewhat real about wrestling, you know, mm-hmm. in a sense. And that's, so I do think that part of this is kind of the part that sort of connects with me as far as why this matters at all.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to bring up one other thing that hampered this match and perhaps the show in general, although definitely the later matches of the show. I just looked up the temperature for the day in East Rutherford, New Jersey, mm-hmm. and it got down to 3 degrees centigrade. Or Celsius, sorry. 3 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's cold. It's really cold.
Yeah, that'd be mid-30s probably. Mid to late 30s, I think.
Yeah, it's really cold. And it was up to 14 during the height of the day. So like at the beginning of the show, it was fairly warm, but mm-hmm. like 4.5 hours later, it's 3 degrees. Like it would have been pretty pretty freaking cold there. And not just for the wrestlers. I'm talking for the 80,000 people who have been standing outside all night.
Sure.
Right? Crowd interaction is a heavy component in a good wrestling match. And a freezing, unhappy crowd can kill a match. And
yeah.
One of the reasons WrestleMania 29... at various points felt really flat was that the crowd was just cold.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just hard to tell the crowd too, because it's hard to really mic effectively a mm-hmm. big crowd. And you know, you obviously have the acoustic issues, but yeah, that does make sense for, because there are definitely points in this match in which it feels like the crowd is not into it at all.
Yeah.
And they get into it later. You know, they're into it for the, like, you know, the big high points, but they don't seem they don't seem invested in it. They seem like, okay, they're killing time now, we're waiting for this to get interesting.
No, they're huddling together to keep warm.
Well, that as well. Yeah. I had forgotten it was that cold.
It's the coldest WrestleMania ever.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So anyway, later in the match, Cena sends Rock into the corner. Rock is very slow to get up after bumping off of it. Then Rock comes off the corner with a clothesline. And Lawler mentions how these guys have such, you know, kind of deep-seated personal issues, yet they're both such likable guys. which is kind of funny because, yeah, neither one comes across as particularly likable, but he kind of goes on. It's like, you know, John Cena is the most approachable guy. You know, you go back in the locker room, he's really nice, and The Rock's the same way. And that's just kind of that's an interesting insight from Jerry Lawler. You know, whether it's true or not, it's a it's interesting to coming out of his mouth, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I never particularly thought of either person as a nice person. But that's me. I don't particularly think that, like, even if you're the goodiest good guy in pro wrestling, you're still a pro wrestler. You still, like, fight people with your fists for a living.
Sure.
You know? And that's treating it as if it's a real thing. Like your job is to beat people up for a living. I don't care how nice you are. You're still probably a bad person. And that's an attractive point of wrestling for me, is that it's still this kind of netherworld of gangsters and heels, and like, you know, even the good people have a lot of chips on their shoulders.
Yeah. Plus you're, you know, if you're successful in pro wrestling, you're rich and, you have a huge ego too. So,
yeah, we've all seen John Cena's house.
Yeah. Well, I have never actually seen John Cena's house, but I'm, you know, but I'm going to assume it's big.
You didn't get invited for the annual John Cena podcast summit?
I perhaps must have missed the invitation.
Oh, sorry. I have a feeling I wasn't supposed to say anything.
Oh man, your time is up.
your
My time
is
not now to go to John Cena's podcast party. Apparently, it's very sad for me. What can you do?
Chicken or the fish? Chicken or the fish.
There you go. I'm sure it was a lovely, lovely soiree.
Yeah.
Very sophisticated. By, you know, people there. You know, a lot of people having trouble taking their shirts off, I'm sure.
It was a mess.
John Cena should have given us all lessons, you know. Just gotta pinch it here and just, you know, throw it off. Now that I've seen him do it, I bet I could pull it off. But
you'd think so. Think so. It's not as easy as it looks.
I'm sure with a little practice, you know. Rock elbows Cena's face on the apron, and Cena's knocked down. We get some long chin locks that Rock almost breaks, but Cena gets down again. Finally, Rock powers out of it. Cena gets a quick belly-to-belly for two, but then locks in the chin lock for a long time. It's during this point where Lawler talks about how Cena last year beat himself with a mistake, And I think it's interesting how it's framed, because Cena also talks about having beat himself instead of Rock having beaten him. But really, Cena lost because he was a dick, not because he made a mistake.
No, he made a very conscious decision.
Yes.
He didn't like slip. It's not like Shawn Michaels lost to The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 because of a mistake. That's a mistake.
Sure.
You know, that's not what happened with Cena and Rock at 28 at all. He made a conscious decision to be a bad person.
Yes, which was great. But
because we all learned a lesson.
Yeah. And we'll see how Cena learned his lesson later on in the match.
I feel like we didn't get to learn a lesson with this match.
Well, we learned a little bit of a lesson, but
we'll get there.
So, Rock locks the sleeper hold. Another minute of rest holds. We probably had 3 or 4 minutes of rest holds in like a 5 minute period. Cena suplexes out of it. He milks the crowd for a second, and then gets 2 on a suplex, of all things. Rock is on the ground, and Cena stomps on his arm repeatedly. He misses an elbow, and Rock then grabs a Samoan drop. Rock seems very tired here and slow to get up. They trade punches, and Cena gets his Fisherman's Buster for 2. Rock struggles to get up. Cena has to sort of wait for him. Cena hits one flying tackle but misses a second. Rock tries to grab the sharpshooter, but then Cena tries to grab the STF. Neither is successful.
This is about the time in the match when these two just have one move now.
Yeah, we're definitely getting there. You know, they're kind of working through their submissions a little bit first. Cena gets 2 shoulder tackles, but then Rock counters him into a sharpshooter. Cena rolls through, kicks him off, and then hits his protobomb. Cena milks the booze and does the five-knuckle shuffle, but he then runs into a DDT by the Rock. Rock lingers over, waiting for Cena to get up, and I feel like there is so much lingering and waiting for the other guy to get up in this match.
There's a ton of waiting for the other guy to get up. I bet Joe Drilling hates this match.
I'm sure. And like, this reminds me a lot of the Rock versus Austin match at WrestleMania 19, which was quite a bit better of a match, but also included a lot of standing over somebody and waiting for them to get up and waiting for big moves and countering of big moves and popping up surprisingly and hitting big moves, although not as much of it as there is here. But there is definitely – like, that's kind of like the first WrestleMania match where I recall like a lot of this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's like amped up like 10 times.
Yeah, unfortunately, this really does devolve into just, I'm going to hit my big move – and you're going to counter it, and then I'm going to counter it back, and then you're going to counter it into your big move. But the counters, I mean, you know what a wrestling counter is, right? Like, it's when someone tries to do a move on you, and you escape that move through maneuvering his arms or legs in a way that reverses it into another move. Sure. But what these two do is they just, like inch away. Like the Rock is about to get hit with an attitude adjustment, and what he does instead is just like stand up out of being on the guy's shoulders. Like, he just kind of like kicks his leg once and he's back on the ground and he's fine. Rock's about to hit Cena with the Rock Bottom, and instead of like grabbing his arm and doing some crazy twisty thing or like dropping down and doing an STF or whatever, like, he just like walks away.
Yes.
Like, that's not a counter. That's just like that's just what happens in WWE 2K14 when the collision detection doesn't work right.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just they didn't really think of it. It doesn't seem like they had a whole lot of interesting ideas of what to do here.
It's just that, like, the thing with pro wrestling is that bad pro wrestling is no wrestling. Right? That's kind of the accepted definition, is that when you're not wrestling, that's bad. And what they were doing here in between wrestling moves was not wrestling. Right? When you see like a good wrestling match, you generally just see a string of wrestling moves. You don't see them standing around not doing anything.
Yeah, or they're taunting, they're being intimidating, they're working they're interacting with the crowd. They are at least acting rather than just standing, that is
a button you have to hit on the controller. So I call it a wrestling move.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So at this point, Rock tries the rock bottom, but it is countered into an STF. Rock is able to roll through and almost get a 3. Then Cena slingshots the rock into a turnbuckle. Cena is able to successfully land the 5-knuckle shuffle on the second try. He tries the attitude adjustment, but Rock basically ducks out of it. There's a spine buster, and the crowd comes alive for the people's elbow incredibly. However,
just infuriatingly alive, because like nerdy wrestling fans hate this move more than any other wrestling move in the world.
I guess so. I mean, I like to think a little better of us and hope that we can have enough room in our hearts for the people's elbow, even if it's not like a particularly fearsome looking move.
I think the problem is that he uses it as a legitimate finishing maneuver. If Cena pinned people with the 5-knuckle shuffle, that would make them angry sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. Is the elbow, not that Hogan's leg drop is necessarily that fearsome either, but is the elbow to the chest really that much less believable than dropping your leg on somebody's neck? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Hulk Hogan's 200-pound giant tree leg falling on my neck would hurt more.
All right, that's fair. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
In any case, Cena's able to counter that into an STF, and the crowd sort of goes away again. So they're not really happy when they're not really that invested in this when Cena is on offense for some reason. Rock is able to roll the move over and grab Cena's hands and break Cena's grip, which JBL puts over as monumental, saying that no one has ever broken the hold that way. The only time they've ever been able to escape the hold is by getting to the ropes.
Uh-huh.
Which is a nice touch.
It's not true, but it's a nice touch.
Well, I don't know. Who has been able to break his grip? It's very possibly has happened, but I don't recall it ever happening.
I just watch any match with the Big Show, probably. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe Umaga or somebody.
I feel like anybody stronger and bigger than Cena probably did that one.
All right. Well, yeah. Fair enough.
Batista, likely. I don't know.
Yeah. Lesnar, maybe.
Lesnar. Triple H, maybe.
Okay. Well,
like everyone,
I can't prove it never happened. So
exactly.
I thought it was a nice touch in the match anyway. So, Cena runs into the rock bottom for 2. There's some lying around. Rock catches his breath, but Cena pops up and hits the AA for 2. More lying around. Cena completely misses the top rope leg drop, so he does not injure Rock. Rock sets up the people's elbow
and
lands it. You're
totally right. I totally got it wrong by a year.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's all right. I wasn't rubbing in your face there. I was just emphasizing. I'm not here to prove you wrong. You're my guest. I'm here to I'm here to build you up, not tear you down.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here to build it before I tear you down.
Oh,
this is wrestling. You know.
Yeah. So. No, it's.
Rock's people's elbow only gets 2, which surprises the crowd a bit. Cena rolls out of the ring again, and they get back in the ring. There's some punches, which get the Yabu attention. Cena
contingent,
yeah, the Yabu, yes, the the Yabu treatment, we'll say.
Yeah.
Have we
passed the point where JBL says that in some places their only real viable competition is each other?
I did not make a note. I remember him saying that. I did not make a note of what point in which that match was the case.
That to me is the most, like, that's the biggest bullshit thing that gets said in the whole thing. Is like, because what that does, that just basically says, oh, the rest of the roster is just worthless at this point. Like, at the main eventing WrestleMania level, at this level, it's just these two. Everyone else is just kind of there.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think he meant more maybe outside of wrestling, like in entertainment things, but I could definitely see how you'd interpret that way. I mean, I kind of feel like it was just like, you know, in some level it's true, especially with The Rock. I mean, The Rock's just kind of bigger than anything else in wrestling. Just he's able to do that. And Cena's not quite on that level, but he's definitely the biggest thing going now. So in that sense, I guess there's some truth to it. But I don't think Cena means very much outside of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, the movies that he stars in do not tend to have a whole lot of success, for instance, you know. But in any case, this is the point in which Cena catches Rock off the ropes, throws him over his shoulder, and he does get and has that cocky look. However,
oh, definitely.
Rock slips out and gets the Rock Bottom, but it only gets two.
Yeah.
Rock walks around, stands over Cena once again, then he does the "you can't see me" gesture. However, Cena catches him and hits the attitude adjustment, but again,
two.
It only gets two.
I'm kind of surprised that the two chance didn't show up at this match.
This crowd was not as snarky, and you know, given where they are, given that they're you know, in New York, New Jersey, someplace in that area, I feel like this is the type of crowd that might do that. But then again, those are usually the small, you know, that doesn't usually translate in a big arena, and for some reason, people refuse to be snarky about The Rock. Or at least wrestling fans in a crowd refuse to. They do on the internet quite a bit, but
sometimes
I've seen it occasionally.
I've seen it once or twice. Then again, this, like, this he's definitely hurt at this point. Like, we're not sure when he gets hurt, but like it's definitely by now.
I would have to think, yeah.
Yeah. So any movement is heroic as far as I'm concerned.
I would certainly agree.
Yeah.
Now, Cole brings up the parallel to the previous year in which Cena got cocky and tried to do the people's elbow and then was caught by The Rock. So there's some more lying around. Then they're both up and trading punches. And I actually like this set of trading punches better than the other because they sort of sold the blow like they didn't fall down from it, but like they staggered, I guess, believably in a pro wrestling sense to make the punches feel like they had more impact and had more like behind them.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
I like them. Cena and Rock are two guys who do fairly good punches.
It's
probably because their arms are tanks.
that would help. Yeah.
But is it just me or are both of their arms larger than Scott Steiner's at this point?
I think there's a good chance the Rocks are. Yeah, I don't think Cena's are quite that big, but they're definitely, you know, they're definitely large arms. You know, mm-hmm. they have peaks. There's no question. I don't know if they have the freaks to go along with those peaks, but you know, I don't know. You went to Cena's party. Where did you see any freaks there?
I've already said way too much.
All right, that's fair. So there are so many reversals that go on next.
But again, like, this is what I'm saying. They're not reversals. They're just them stopping a move halfway.
There's like, maybe slips. I don't know.
It's just a nothing. Like, it reverses with a nothing.
Well, you can at least see they are attempting moves, and then they attempt other moves, and there's a lot of attempting. And this all ends with Cena hitting the Rock Bottom.
It's the two biggest wrestlers in the world trying to wrestle.
Yes. But it only gets two. disbelief on Cena's face, great amount of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cena stands over the rock. He motions for the five knuckle shuffle initially, but then he's like, no, no, I'm going to do the people's elbow, just like last year. He hits the one rope. He goes to the second. We see Rock pop up, and then Cena holds on to the ropes and doesn't continue. And then we get sort of our aha moment. He has at least learned his lesson to a degree, unless he was not caught with the move on this occasion. However, he's able to get Rock on his shoulders. However, Rock then slips out of it and lands the rock bottom for two. Only two again. How many rock bottoms is that? That's at least two, maybe three.
It's two. I believe he only actually officially hits two, but we get so many reversals and almost that it is tough to keep count.
It's a people's elbow too. So there's two rock bottoms and a people's elbow. That.
Yeah.
We get another big sequence of the slipping that ends with a rock DDT. The rock lumbers over, waits for Cena to get up, and Cena then gets the attitude adjustment and slams him over in a big way, and then gets the three for a win. So kind of seemed out of nowhere, but I'm not complaining about it given the condition Rock was in. And I feel like the last few minutes were hot and exciting, at least, in terms of crowd interaction and, in terms of feeling like it was a big epic moment. I mean, obviously the tricks that we're talking about are pretty common in WWE main events over the past decade. I mean, some of the great matches that, Undertaker versus Michaels and so forth have done this. So it is like a common thing and it, in WWE main events, and it does, it can get exciting and can work very well, but it does feel very thin when there's not like a whole lot around that.
Yeah, this match, as well as the match they had the previous year, lacked any sort of iconic WrestleMania moment. They do this kind of match all the time, but there's often those little facial expressions or interactions or something that really crystallizes the match, and these just don't have it. At no point in time did I feel like either of these guys got to another gear. They stayed in the same gear almost the whole match.
Sure.
That's definitely my biggest criticism of The Rock, and often a big criticism of Cena, but I've seen Cena do it. I've seen Cena have amazing gradual building matches, where things get bigger and bigger. My biggest problem with Cena is that he has nothing bigger than the AA that he can bring out. Like, once he gets to that level in the match where he's using that move, he doesn't have another level. Rich and I talked about this on our podcast a year ago, talking about the event as a whole, but like, we thought it would be nice if Cena could learn like something like a burning hammer. Are you familiar with that move?
Yeah.
So it's the type of move that like only gets used like a couple of times in a whole career.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be too unsafe for WWE.
I don't mean specifically the burning hammer.
I get what you mean.
The idea that Cena has this one thing that he never uses except for like this one time.
That would be an interesting idea for him, like, as a new dimension. Like, I'm working on this new finishing hold, and I'm gonna, debut it at some point. You're gonna see it, but I'm not gonna tell you when.
That's a very Rob Van Dam kind of thing to do, to sort of pre-announce a move.
or even better, like you would just say, like Michael Cole would say at one point, like, oh, there's rumors that John Cena is working on some new, working on some new move that he's supposed to, he's adding some tricks. He feels like he needs to add some new tricks to compete with these young lions or whatever, that kind of thing,
Now, what's funny is that in the last couple of months, like leading up to WrestleMania 30, John Cena has been using the Lariat more and more. He's basically gotten to a point of frustration in a match, and he just whips out a Lariat and murders the guy. And because his arms are basically the size of small buildings, his Lariat looks really vicious. And, the WrestleMania 29 main event, I feel it's begging for that, fifth gear move, to finish it off. Like I've hit you with my patented finishing maneuver 4 times. We're getting to, Randy Savage Ultimate Warrior levels of ruining my move here.
Right.
I need to hit you with something new and hard and crazy. And Cena's Lariat might be it, but he's using it, he's using it on Raw, so that can't be it. But that could have worked,
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly an interesting idea, and that's a nice way to kind of just give a little added something to a character we know so well and we kind of know everything about, and it's hard for him to surprise us.
Yeah. And it would be a good learned thing because he's the new Hulk Hogan in a lot of ways, and Hulk Hogan's hardcore finisher is the Lariat, right? Which he used in Japan. Sure. Cena's first WWE Championship win was against JBL, whose finisher was the Lariat, right? There's contextual reasons for him to use it as a finisher.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. I have a hard time believing they would use that, but something, would be neat. I'm in favor of it. We should, next time you go to one of his podcast parties, you should bring that up.
Again, I'm gonna get an email. I can tell.
Okay.
Already.
Well, yeah. He may even Skype you.
He might.
Yeah. So there is a big pop for Cena's win. Maybe surprise if nothing else. And we only show pro Cena reactions from the crowd.
Yeah, you get a lot of 8-year-olds.
Well, some adults, but yeah. But I thought that was interesting. There was no, there were no disappointed Rock fans shown at all. It was only pro Cena. Cena holds the belt. Rock stands up. Cena mouths thanks, and he and Rock have a conversation, which Cena says that Rock is the best. They end up shaking hands. It's kind of a mix of cheers and boos there. Cena leaves that so that the crowd can have a moment to cheer the Rock, and they do so in the ring. He tells the crowd, thank you and I love you. He walks out of the ring. He kisses a woman who's identified as Arnold Scollin's widow, and then some of his other family, his mother, I believe, or maybe it's his grandmother. I forget. I think it might be Peter Maivia's wife. So, and slowly walks up the ramp where he meets Cena, and Cena is standing up there with doing his Marine salute. Rock salutes him back, and then Cena holds up Rock's arm while Rock does sort of a side point, not a Scott Hall point, but sort of like an angled point toward Cena. And then there are fireworks, and Rock's music hits again. Rock's music hasn't been playing, so I think it's Cena's music again. And then the last moment is Cena holding up the belt and yelling, "The champ is here."
And then it fades out, yeah.
It does, yes. I thought every post-match everything was good. I thought the spectacle was good. I actually, at the end of the match, I kind of went in thinking, oh, this really wasn't much of a match. And there were definitely points of the match that I didn't care for. And I agree with all of your criticisms of the match, with of course, the caveats that,
that Rock is operating at, 70% of a person at that point.
However, after it was over, I kind of felt like, oh, okay, this wasn't too bad. This was a bit better than I remembered it. It's not as good as last year, which was also a little disappointing, but it's still, I enjoyed it enough. The aftermath was, was more interesting than I thought, even though it kind of fell flat in some respects, this was at least fine.
Yeah, it was fine. So I gotta ask you, why we did this match at one WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this match at another WrestleMania? Is it because the match was good and we want to do that again? Is it because they feel like there's just more money to be made from that? Like what?
Yes.
What do you think that is? That is it? Just that? Like, but then.
Well, there's more money made from it, and there is, and John Cena has to get his win back on an equally big stage than the year before.
Do you think that's important to them?
Yes.
I do wonder if part of it's just like, you know, like the Rock brings a very certain type of wrestling fan out of the woodwork, and it's the type of wrestling fan that like used to watch wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the type of wrestling fan that like was probably happy with 5-minute matches. You know, like the guy who like the type of person who really couldn't care about things like move speed and, you know, proper...
Everybody cares about move speed, come on.
But like proper reversal techniques, like the type of wrestling fan who is not only 100% fine with the fakery of it all, but has not gotten to the point where he wants to suspend his disbelief to make it seem real. He's just fine with it being fake and bullshitty and ridiculous because The Rock is entertaining and a little misogynist and a cartoon.
Sure.
You know? I think that's the kind of wrestling fan it is. And for that guy, you're right. I think there was still plenty of money to be made there. I think this ostensibly ruined 3 WrestleManias, however.
Oh, I think ruin's a bit of a strong word. I mean... 27, I will grant you, it certainly damaged that WrestleMania severely. Mm-hmm. 28, I feel like, was a bit of a disappointment, but I thought it was fine. I guess I would have kind of rather have seen something a little different. And in fact, that kind of leads into our first Twitter question, if we just want to go ahead and ask it.
Sure.
From Dutch Lombrowski, at Dutch Lombrowski. If there wasn't this rematch, who would have been suitable opponents for both men?
You know, leading up to WrestleMania 29, I thought I was pretty convinced that CM Punk was going to get slotted into the match. Like, mm-hmm. that it was going to be a triple threat. Just to add spice, just to be different, but also to reward Punk. You know, this does happen every now and then where it seems like one major player is just taken out for the sake of simplicity. And it felt like Punk should have been in that match. I don't know who else Cena and Rock could have faced. And obviously it couldn't have just been like a Rock-Punk match again because they had done 2 of them. But, you know, I feel like it should have been a triple threat.
I don't know. I don't feel like you have... If your mission here is to... Okay, Cena gets his redemption and beats Rock and, you know, gets his mojo back, mm-hmm. you know, then I don't think that's nearly as satisfying in a 3-way match than it is in a 1-on-1 match.
I suppose they could have made it like an elimination match or something, but, you know, I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. I think Cena Undertaker is the match that I think is really compelling, and I'm surprised they haven't done for whatever reason yet. I assume it's coming in the future, but that feature seems to, you know, obviously, I kind of figured this year would be the year, but I guess maybe Lesnar Undertaker is another match that will sell better for them. Even though I don't think it's quite as compelling as Cena Undertaker.
The thing with the other thing with WrestleMania specifically too, is that it sold out before they announced a single match.
I don't know. That's not true. I don't think 29's actually even sold out.
No,
I don't think 30's actually sold out.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised. Like, it seems like Auric comes close. Like, a good number of tickets are sold, at least.
Not
a sellout.
Yeah, I think you're undervaluing how much Rock really means to, like, their...
I'm not saying Rock doesn't mean a huge amount. Like I said, he brings fans out of the woodwork. People who would never consider watching wrestling without him on will watch 'cause of him. Tons of people. But that doesn't mean that he needs to fight John Cena.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they could have given him a different opponent, but I don't know. I'm not really excited about Rock Triple H, Rock Brock Lesnar, Rock Undertaker. I mean, do any of those particularly interest you? I mean, I don't know who else Rock wrestles. I mean,
that's the thing right there. Who does Rock wrestle? So there's only like three or four guys that he's allowed to interact with?
Well, I mean, if you put him at, if you have him wrestle someone who is at a lower level, then I don't know, is that a good idea? Does that seem compelling either?
Back at Raw 1000, that 1000th episode of Raw, mm-hmm. when CM Punk like turned heel against The Rock, something mm-hmm. else happened at that episode, and that was that the Rock insulted Daniel Bryan. And he insulted him by calling him a goat face.
Okay.
And it was the first time anyone had called him that. And that's on his t-shirt now. And I was watching that episode and I'm thinking they might be planting something there.
Okay.
You know, maybe not, probably not. Daniel Bryan at that point really wasn't at that level, but he sure is at that level now.
Yeah.
Right? And if they had wanted to, they could have made him at that level, at least as a bad guy for The Rock at 29.
Yeah, I that would kind of be a tough sell, but I get what you're saying. I mean, you know, you could always build somebody up and have Rock, you know, battle them. I mean, it's not excuse me.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, there are, but you have to work at it and you have to kind of build those guys for a while to kind of feel like they belong in the ring with someone like The Rock. I mean, even, I don't know, like Cena and Bray Wyatt this year, like I just kind of feel like, I like Bray Wyatt a lot as a character, but I kind of feel like...
Like he's not there. He hasn't earned it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like he just like, yeah, it's not quite his time yet, and I'm sure. I'm guessing the match will turn out well, and maybe he'll get the win. Maybe that'll help his career. But or even if he loses, it could still help his career, depending on how it's done. But yeah, it just sort of feels like they have trouble building up guys outside of that club. You know, Punk's like was the last one to definitely join that club, and Brian's you know the newest guy, but they are able to kind of do one guy every other year now. You know.
Yeah.
Which, you know, means there aren't a lot, like Cena doesn't really have a whole lot of compelling opponents because he's faced everybody except for Undertaker. And he can wrestle guys outside the club more easily than Rock can, because The Rock obviously has limited things and he just has that high stature as a movie star and as a star from a bigger era. And maybe that thinking is like dumb, but it's definitely embedded in, you know, how I would think it would be really weird to see The Rock, you know, wrestle
like a Billy Gunn, say
Jack Swagger, yeah, or whatever. You know, I just think that would be like, oh, it's just kind of not a compelling match at all. Like, you know, The Rock should win easily because he's The Rock, you know. So yeah. Unless you build up a guy who you think, oh, okay, maybe he could beat The Rock, then it's not that interesting.
I see your point.
All right. Yay. Matthew Robertson at Matt Robbo 1990 asks, would the story told in the build-up have been more compelling if Cena was the champ and Rock the challenger?
Well, no. I don't think the belt should have ever been involved in this feud. I don't, like, they didn't help the belt by including it.
I think the belt is still in the most important match in the show, and I think that's good. I agree that the belt wasn't necessary, but I do think that the belt wasn't going to do any better anywhere else. It was just going to make the belt look smaller. So yeah,
maybe
I think that the belt being involved in this match, I think is good. No, I think The only real compelling thing about it, as we said, is the fact that of Cena getting kind of his redemption. So he can't really that can't really be the case if he's the champion. I mean, I guess it can. I guess he could have beaten Rock.
Yeah,
Cena's champion. But I guess Rock being the champion added a little. You know, that was kind of necessary to kind of set up this rematch a little bit, or at least give them kind of a reason to fight again. Since obviously Cena's challenging for Rock's title.
It's another in a long line of, oh, this guy has to win the belt in February so that he can lose it in March.
Yeah.
Like that happens at way too many WrestleManias.
Yeah. But I don't think it would have been more compelling. I don't see any reason why that would have been more interesting. Mm. And Robert at Lowdown Wrestling wants to know, what is more likely to happen first at WrestleMania? Cena facing Undertaker or Rock Cena 3?
I think Cena facing Undertaker. I don't see them doing a third one at WrestleMania.
No. If they do a third one, they should do it like at SummerSlam or something.
They should
and I don't think they should do a third one. But yeah. If they do, I think, you know, give SummerSlam a little bit of love, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Do you think this whole thing might have been better served at SummerSlam? Because SummerSlam is like the novelty match pay-per-view anyway.
Yeah, it's your Hogan Michaels, you know.
It's your Hogan Michaels. It's your
Mega Powers, your Mega Bucks.
It's your Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hart versus Hart. And
that's
Undertaker
a thing
versus...
that happened. People can't, yeah, like, you know.
That's true. What if they'd have had a Undertaker Hart versus Undertaker Hart?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Think about that.
In the cage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it would have been nice to have the second one not be at WrestleMania. Like I said, they do there are three. Well, you know, the next question by Michael at the_big_beefer. Given Rock is in WrestleManias 27 to 29, how could they have varied the story to involve and elevate more than just Cena? Which is, I guess, a little different from what we're talking about, but it kind of fits in a little bit, I guess. Maybe they could have done a rematch at like a SummerSlam. Of course, they're dependent on Rock's schedule too, so maybe that.
But you know, he showed up at the like Survivor Series once. Like, come on,
that's true.
It's an interesting question to say, you know, if we have The Rock for 3 years, what can we do with him? Can we elevate these guys, or can we fortify the big stars that we have? And obviously they went with fortify Cena.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, Rock, like, I feel like if you have someone like The Rock, like, you can take some of your, like B-list guys and turn them into A-list guys. And I feel like that's more valuable than taking an A-list guy and making him, I guess, an A-plus guy? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree, but it requires more long-term planning and probably more matches. The Rock needs to be in more matches for that to work too, you know?
Yeah.
I guess The Rock wrestled CM Punk, and even though he beat CM Punk, at least it does feel like maybe that makes CM Punk a little bit bigger just by wrestling Rock in an equal way, you know, essentially.
I think it helped Punk, definitely, and that was, you know, 2013, if you look at Punk, his run there is he's losing to legends all year long. You know, he loses to The Rock, then he loses to Taker, and then he loses to Brock Lesnar, and that's his year.
Yeah, he beat Paul Heyman.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure did.
Yeah. He beat Jericho.
He did beat Jericho.
Yeah. There you go.
You're right.
Being Chris Jericho is difficult. Of course, Chris Jericho lost to Fandango at this show. So
at this show, yes.
Yes. Rich Thomas, your co-host at Earth Dog on International Object. Should WWE care about what the hardcore, smart internet wrestling community fans think and how they dislike The Rock?
No. No, I think they've made the right decisions with The Rock generally in terms of attracting a certain fan base.
Yes.
I think you know, we're my biggest problem with The Rock is always just his kind of blatant misogyny. But that seems to like, attract that fan base. Like, and this is the part of wrestling fans I don't like. But there it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, a lot of people beyond wrestling fans, of course, have that problem. So
yes, true.
A lot of people. Now, of course, we are the internet wrestling community as it is of course has many diverse opinions. Not all of us involved in that label hate The Rock. I do think that there is an interesting larger question about how much should WWE care about what its obsessed fans think, because there's a mentality there that I've read that WWE feels like it has us and doesn't need to listen to us. And I get that because we're going to kind of be there. But at the same time, I do feel like sometimes what we our feelings about something is what the larger fan base is going to feel about something like in 6 months. Like we're a little bit sometimes the trendsetter. We're a little bit we're kind of the cool kids occasionally, or at least like we're ahead of the curve on.
I would say that we are the correct kids occasionally. I don't know that we're ever necessarily the cool kids.
Okay, well, you know, struggling to get the shirts on. I understand.
I often compare hardcore wrestling fans to hardcore long-term like Mac users.
Okay,
And that there's a big difference between a hardcore Mac user who's been buying a Macintosh computer for 15 years and like a brand new iPhone user.
Sure.
And it seems like Apple over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years has started to really prefer their like iOS customers over their Mac customers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you should still kind of listen to the people who are buying your Mac product, because those are the people who are loyal and devoted and have been and were there when you were dead and know about your product and like get right down to the root of things, whereas your iPhone customers, like they barely know like how to do anything, but at a certain level that's more valuable.
Yeah.
Because you can sell them little plastic cases for high margins and, you know, extended warranties for things and yada, yada, yada. And I feel like that's like The Rock's fans and like the celebrity fans that come in and like the people who show up for WrestleMania, but very few other shows. The people who come for like a certain character or because some weird trendy thing is happening, and like the wrestling part of the show is like, who gives a shit?
Right, right, yeah. Exactly. All right, next question. We got some good ones today. Mm-hmm. Aaron Weiss at Weiss Writes asks, he actually had two questions, but I think the we've already kind of addressed the first one. The second question is, any thoughts on the Rock-Punk feud? Although I prefer Punk-Rock feud, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Punk-Rock feud, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was fine. I didn't watch a lot of the TV at the time, but I did. I enjoyed the Royal Rumble match. I thought they got a little too cute with it, with the false finish that, you know, of at first seeming like Punk won, and then I think Vince comes out and restarts the match, and then Rock wins quickly. But I thought that was a pretty good performance by The Rock, and was a fitting big moment end for Punk's title reign. I think that it needed to happen like on a big stage in an important match, and that's about as important as you can get without it being at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the only reason I prefer his title run to have ended at the Rumble is because it's a much bigger stage and people were really paying attention to that show because it was The Rock's first title shot. But in the actual narrative, I feel like it would have done just as well for there not to have been a false finish and for Punk to have gotten away with the win there and then lose at Elimination Chamber. I feel like in hindsight, there's not a whole lot of reasons for Punk to have lost twice.
Yeah.
In basically the same way, you know. But yeah, historically it's better to lose at the Royal Rumble than at Elimination Chamber, because nobody ever cares about Elimination Chamber.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Dallas Jarvis at Caesar underscore Dallas. How do you feel about the regular occurrence of WrestleMania rematches in the last 5 years?
I mean, that's sort of a byproduct of there not being another show for wrestlers to go to every now and then, right? Like, you know, when there were competitors to WWE, you had fewer guys sticking around all the time and basically in the same spot every year after year. But things are slower now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a byproduct of that, and it's just going to happen. I'm fine with it, I guess. It does make it look like things don't really move, but the fact is that there's so much movement throughout the year that it's like it comes around full circle as opposed to just being a single thing over and over.
Sure. It's also another byproduct of that we only add one guy to the club every 2 and 3 years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to do a rematch, like, and this is just classic kind of stuff, but if you're going to do a rematch, do something different, add something extra, you know, or at the very least, have the two wrestlers remember that they've wrestled before and have that match reflect and grow on the previous match.
Sure.
You know, like, there are a series of matches where that happens.
Absolutely.
But they often don't do that at things like WrestleMania.
Yeah. Other than maybe, like, one or two key spots, like the...
there was the cute thing with Cena, yeah.
Right, but yeah, overall, it wasn't really... I mean, I guess the counters or the slips were these guys know each other well or have studied each other a lot kind of thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beyond that, yeah, I agree. And then our last question, which I think is very interesting, by Masked Tweeter, at Masked Tweeter. Let's say he's making the assumption that if Rock had not been injured and Cena was champ, and if they decided to do a Cena-Rock rubber match at WrestleMania 30, would that have been impacted by the Yes Movement?
Huh. I mean, you go first.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't think they would have changed their plans for, if they had set that in stone and wanted to do that again and hadn't and you know wanted to make it. I still think they would consider that match their big thing. But I do think it would be really interesting to see the reaction to The Rock. If he's getting in Daniel Bryan's way and if there's a segment of the fan base that's really mad about that. And if that, you know, carries over at all to booze and, you know, to some of the fans turning on The Rock,
mm-hmm.
I could definitely see that. I don't think it would change their plans. But I could see, I don't even think they would add Daniel Bryan to the match. I don't think they would have done that.
No, because there's no way that
Rock Cena would have gotten the kind of reaction that Batista and Orton were getting. You know, it's not like the crowd would have completely rejected The Rock. They might have booed him some. Some of the fans may have booed him, but it wouldn't have been the same kind of rejection. So I don't think it would have had the same impact. But it would have been interesting to see. You know, if there's a decent number of fans who would have rather seen Daniel Bryan than The Rock, if that had, you know, manifested itself at all.
Yeah, the thing with the Yes Movement and like wrestling fans are vicious at times, but What happened with Daniel Bryan wouldn't have happened if they planned on doing Cena Rock again. Like, they wouldn't have done the story that they've told with Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Because that story is what sets the fans into a sort of rabid craze. You know?
Right.
They've been controlling this story. They've been controlling this narrative, and they've been making the fans crazy on purpose. You know, so you don't tell the story from SummerSlam to now, and then just all of a sudden Rock and Cena show up and they're doing the thing in the main event again.
Sure.
You know, But, yeah, I don't think there would be a yes movement if The Rock was still around.
Yeah, well, you could have done a lot of what they did and then just have him be facing Triple H and then have, like, the title shot be,
like, later.
You know, yeah. I mean, I guess you could have done that and done most of what you did already, or maybe extended the Daniel Bryan as a member of the Wyatts thing, you mm-hmm. know, through WrestleMania, and then go to, and then kind of, you know, have him, you know, fight the Authority and want another title shot kind of thing.
Sure.
So you could have done it in a similar way, but yeah, it obviously would have been very different if the specter of Cena versus Rock was there again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, those are all of our questions. So is there anything else that you would like to discuss regarding this, or would you like to just tell everyone about International Object?
No, I think people know about International Object at this point. I do think it's interesting that, like, WrestleMania 29 holds one of the coveted, like, slots on the WWE Network's homepage at all times.
Does it? I always thought it was 28.
Really?
I've never noticed 29 on...
So I'm just I'm going to go...
Well, wait a minute.
I'm going to network.wwe.com right now.
Oh, you might... Well, you might be right. I was thinking of it on, like, how it's displayed on my Apple TV.
Oh, my God. Oh, my... I'm not even kidding. WrestleMania 29 is playing right now.
Oh, there you go.
Rock nice. And Cena is playing at this moment.
Huh.
Rock Cena is playing at this moment, and then after they're done, WrestleMania 29 starts again at midnight.
Ah. Oh, I'm pretty excited.
But yeah, if you scroll down, it goes. You see the video, and then below that it has all like the share charms, and up next, and then shows, and then beneath that is pay per views, and WrestleMania 29 holds half of the slot there, and then there's four smaller guys, which are like the most recent pay per views.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's like it, but it's there every day. And if you like go into like the Xbox and other things, you see WrestleMania 29 very prominently displayed. Like they want you to watch the show over and over, I guess.
I guess they do. I guess they're excited, you know. Yeah. I don't know, is that at all based on what people are just watching?
No, that so far there is no like there doesn't seem to be any sort of algorithm-y smart
okay.
Recommendation system yet.
Yeah.
It all like there's
it's a little early for that, but yeah.
A little early for that. But no, that just it's just there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone should check out International Object. It is a great place to go to read and listen to interesting discussion about wrestling by Sawyer and his partner Rich Thomas. So
yeah, I assume we're gonna have a pretty big WrestleMania 30 show, probably right after. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm always excited about that. And in fact, Rock Cena is on WWE Network right now.
This is what I'm saying. It's crazy.
Rock was elbowing, or Cena was elbowing out of a Rock Bottom there.
It's like they knew we would be recording now.
Apparently. Well, I was teasing it all day, so maybe they had time to get all their ducks in a row. Maybe, yeah. All right. Well, everyone should, of course. They need to follow me on Twitter. What are you on Twitter?
I'm at _SawyerPaul.
Because it changes in time, so people need to keep up with that.
Yeah. If you keep doing the same thing in the same spot, the weirdos start to really pile up.
Well, that's fair. Luckily, I have nice fans who can check. Check out the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, at WrestleSpective.com. We have an RSS feed there where you can get all the podcasts into you if you'd like to do that. And it's wonderful. Follow me on Twitter, at WrestleSpective, or for non-wrestling tweets, at JasonManOhioan. Also on Facebook and technically on Google+, although I don't really do much there, so I wouldn't really necessarily bother unless you just really want to. That's about it. Thanks everyone again for listening to the program. I appreciate any feedback that you guys want to send me regarding this in any other podcast or just, you know, anything you want to talk about. I'm here to listen. So Thanks, everyone, again, for checking out the show, and we'll be back again some other time.